Well, the Brewers' first half is over, and, well, it could have gone better. It could have gone worse. But this is more about the entire first half, not about a tough weekend in San Francisco. Also, we'll talk more about the draft at a later date, but let's jump into our first half review with Vinny Rattino.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, wherever you may be listening from. My name is Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. We post episodes Monday through Friday, free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on now, it's the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. You can save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement rings. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin. I was in San Francisco all weekend, along with Vinny and along with BA, and really happy to have Vinny back on the podcast as we just kind of look through the past of the first half, what needs to be improved, what were the positives, who are the MVPs, and how will the Brewers win the Central? They finished the first half still in first place despite all of the adversity, 50-43, a half game up on the Cardinals, who were postponed yesterday. If you're looking for a game recap or a weekend recap, look, we can talk about Josh Hader at another time. We do talk about Josh in this episode. We can talk about the balk that wasn't a balk from Saturday. We can talk about Jason Alexander, who was just optioned to AAA in the wake of his tough start yesterday. That will come later this week. But hey, there's no game today. There's no game until Friday. So we're going to have some interviews here this week, starting with this first half review with Vinny. Tomorrow, Lane Grindle will be joining the show, an interview that we taped over the weekend in San Francisco for folks to get to know one of the great members of the radio crew with the Brewers. And another interview I don't want to give away yet, I tease it at the end of this podcast as well, that I'm very excited for y'all to hear, and it'll be very, very relevant to this week in baseball. But again, Brewers have the next few days off, and also let's rejoice that Devin Williams is indeed an all-star, finally, as we have been shouting from the rooftops for that. Before we jump into the interview with Vinny, I want to remind you that today's episode, as you just heard, is brought to you by BlueNile.com, and with their anniversary sale right now, there is so much that you can find to make the moment sparkle. Whether it's you're ready to pop the question, if you're celebrating a milestone moment, you can find fine jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Their online tools make it so easy for you to choose the shape, the size and the clarity of the diamond, even the setting style as well. And all of the bench jewelers that Blue Nile has will then handcraft a perfect engagement ring, and every single one is truly one of a kind. If you're customizing the ring or just looking for diamond stud earrings, if you're just trying to create something custom, the original online jeweler, Blue Nile, will allow you to create a bigger and more brilliant piece than you can ever imagine at a price you really won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they have expert advice available 24/7 with legendary service and 30-day returns. Even furthermore, they've got guaranteed service and repair for life, because when you commit to a piece, so does Blue Nile. And their diamond price guarantee means that if you contact Blue Nile to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs, in most cases, Blue Nile can meet or beat the price. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on now, that Blue Nile anniversary sale, we told you a second ago, 40% off classic fine jewelry and even 25% off on engagement rings. Fellas, it's that time. You're seeing it on Instagram. I'm sure your girlfriend has showed you an Instagram. Oh, look, at so-and-so got engaged. Oh, look at this. I know you're sick of the question. Just go to our friends at BlueNile.com today. Once again, our old friend, Vinny Rattino. Surprise! I'm with the TV star today. Vinny Rattino makes his return to Locked On Brewers. All right, one half is done, Vinny. There's a lot of directions we can go. Obviously, haven't had a podcast since Friday and the Josh Hader meltdown. We can talk about the balk. We can talk about the 9-5 loss on Sunday. But this is going to be more about the overall first half and our impressions, what we're looking forward to in the second half and things like that. We are live from San Francisco right now, so you may hear the music and everything in the background happening right now. But
first and foremost, before we actually talk about the Brewers, Vinny, you just knocked out three games of television with Bally Sports Wisconsin doing live color. How'd that feel, man? You did a great job.
Man, I appreciate it, Dom. No, I mean, it was quite the experience. I've never done color commentary before other than when you and I have done those practice broadcasts, and that obviously really, really helped in my debut as a color analyst. And then obviously BA, the best in the business, guy to work with. He kind of held my hand through the whole thing, and then Dan Keener was the producer, so he did a tremendous job of holding my hand through it all. But it was quite the experience, a lot of fun. Wish the Brewers could have won a couple of more games, but it was a lot of fun.
At least you won the first one, so it can't all really be on you for this 1-3 trip here in San Francisco. What was something that maybe caught you by surprise, as in both good and bad way? Like, wow, I didn't expect this to happen to me on television, and I reacted to something that happened a lot differently than maybe you would have expected to happen.
Honestly, just the idea of reacting and staying in the moment during replays. I didn't know. I thought I did fairly well on the replays and just kind of describing what was happening in the game. And the first one right off the bat was a Luis Urias play to his backhand, and I felt like I called it pretty good. But I didn't know, it was just talking baseball, really, Dom, at the end of the day. And BA, like I said, and you even in the booth, just made me feel comfortable that at the end of the day we're just talking baseball, and that's what was good about it. Other than what was a surprise of it was, you have to stay locked in the entire time. I mean, it takes a lot of concentration. I actually really tip my cap to guys like you that do play-by-play and BA. You are concentrating for all 9 innings for the 4 hours or however long baseball games are. It takes a lot of work.
So now that we're done schmoozing about how good he did on television, now let's get back to reality. The Brewers are 50-43 at the All-Star break. If I told you in April, no context at all, 50-43 and in first place, I'm not going to tell you how many games up you are. I'm going to say, hey, you're going to be 50-43 in first place. How would you react?
Yeah, I mean, that would obviously, you would be pretty excited about that. But I, giving the context of where I know that where this team was until where the team is now, it's a little bit different. Knowing that the team was off to the best start in franchise history through the first 50 games, and then they finished, obviously, not great. So in the first half, but some takeaways that they are getting healthier is kind of the takeaway for me. But at the end of the day, you wish they would have built up a little bit better record and been a little bit better. What are they? 7 games over 500 at this point. I would have thought they would have been better than that.
And to your point about 50 games in, there is so much excitement. And getting healthier, I think, is an important thing to note because they were healthy majority for that first 50 games. You can really point to right around game 50 is when Willie got hurt, Kutch goes on the COVID IL, you start having injuries pop up on this team. And I think the biggest blow to this team is Freddie Peralta right now. And that's an easy branch, to grab onto. But when you see, and this is no disrespect to Jason Alexander and Aaron Ashby, but when you see... they're still developing. I mean, Ashby's only 24 years old. And yes, Freddie's not that much older than either one of those guys, but you can just see what 4 big league seasons can do to a player in development. And you've been on that side of baseball before. Am I making sense? Is that something?
No, it's 100%. I mean, look, Aaron Ashby, does he have a year in the big leagues? I don't even know if he's got a year at this point in the big leagues. And the experience as a starter, he's still developing. I think we're on the same page. Like, this guy is going to be an all-star at some point. I mean, the stuff is just too good. He's going to learn how to put guys away with 2 strikes. He's going to learn where to command the baseball in certain situations. He just hasn't gotten there yet. It's more stuff than anything right now. Jason Alexander is a guy that's really got a – he's been a nice addition at times with getting innings. Today he got hit around. I mean, it's just lefties really are having a really easy time with him. He's going to have to make some adjustments there. Freddie Peralta is 100% the biggest blow to this team at this point, not only because of his performance, but because of his ability to lead in that clubhouse. And he is still young, but he is a leader. That energy that he brings, it's similar to Willy Adames in that the more guys you can get like that, the better you're going to be. A guy like that really just cares about winning. He really is just passionate about winning, and that is infectious, and that's what's been taken away from this team from ever since he was put on the IL.
And for this team to be where they're at, again, only 7 games over 500 after that great start. But then when you add in the context, which is what we didn't do, they're only a half game up because the Cardinals were postponed yesterday. So they still enter the half up in the division. And when you add in the context, you're thinking to yourself, well, when they start putting it together on the pitching side of things, which was what their expectation was to be good at, when you're losing Peralta, when you lost Woodruff for a little while there, now you've lost Hauser for a little while, and he's on his way back. He's begun his throwing program. I think the context is really important to note as far as, yes, they're only 7 games over 500 right now, but you know they haven't played their best baseball yet, aside from those first 50 games. They haven't had their full unit really available on the pitching side. They're now getting the offense back. Renfro's starting to hit the ball hard again. I just see that the context and explaining to folks who maybe look at the Brewers' record and say, oh my gosh, they're only 50-43. How did that happen? And it's like, well, this is what happened. You had a great point about the injuries that the Brewers did not have to deal with that last season that you got into the broadcast in yesterday's show, like how little the Brewers dealt with injuries.
It was a total anomaly year for the Brewers last year in the fact that they didn't have guys go down with arm injuries. They had some guys go on the COVID list, but those were only two-week IL stints for the Brewers last year. And look, they had 6 guys essentially, including Brett Anderson, who ate a bunch of innings. And that keeps your bullpen fresh. And it also keeps your starting pitching rotation really crisp and fresh in the way that they can go out and execute on a daily basis. I think once the second half hits, you made some really good points there, Dom. You also have Andrew McCutchen that is swinging the bat really well. You have that Hunter Renfro starting to swing it. Rowdy Tellez is a guy that's been streaky, but again, he's still developing as a major league player, as an everyday major league player. Really hasn't had that opportunity until this year. He's going to continue to get better. Willy Adames is going to make some adjustments. You know that. He's just got to stay a little bit more consistent. So I think you and I were talking off camera, and I believe what you said. Like, this team has a chance. They're poised to make a run and just rattle off 10 in a row. They really can do that. They're capable of doing that. They have the guys. They have the talent to do so. We're just kind of waiting on them to do it. This was a tough series here coming into San Francisco. This could have gone either way, and it didn't go their way, and it looks way worse than it actually is. But it was a tough-fought series the first 3 games. Obviously, today they just got flat-out beat.
I look at August right now as I'm scrolling ahead right now on the Brewers' schedule. So coming out of the trading deadline on August 2nd, the Brewers have 3 games in Pittsburgh, 3 games at home against the Reds, 2 games at home against the Rays, and then 3 on the road in St. Louis. So, quite frankly, when you add up all, what is that, 5, 8, 11 games, and I know the last time I said, hey, you should be expecting 7-3, you look at those 11 games after the Boston series of saying, okay, can you prove it, and can you rattle off a run right there, because that's going to be your team after August 2nd, looking Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, and St. Louis, and obviously only 7 more games head-to-head with St. Louis, which will matter because as we look at the standings right now in baseball at the half, right now the second, to all of our surprise, the second place team in the Central is currently in a wild card spot, which we talked about that a lot in the preseason shows of like, oh, there's no shot that's going to happen. St. Louis is in a tie for the last wild card spot with Philadelphia. They're virtually equal in winning percentage despite being different in total wins. San Francisco is a half game back of that last spot. So there is an outside possibility you still make it into the postseason as a wild card team. But let's be honest, you don't even want to entertain that thought. With these 7 games head-to-head left with St. Louis, you got to treat it like it's an NLCS. Got to win those 7 and see what you can do the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, you definitely got to beat St. Louis best you can. And you got to take care of business against those other teams that you should beat, like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, that are upcoming on the schedule as well. Those are wins that you need to have. Hopefully, then you can play a little bit better than 500 baseball against those playoff-caliber teams, and that should get it done. However, you never want to take St. Louis for granted. They have an offense that can rattle off a bunch of wins as well, and they have a starting pitching staff that, isn't as good as the Brewers, but, you just do not want to sleep on the Cardinals at the end of the day. And like you said, at the end of the day, you're going to have the Dodgers. They're running away with the West. You got the Mets, I believe, is going to run away with the East. And then you have whoever wins the Central, that second place team is going to be battling for their life against let's say, the Phillies and San Francisco, and those are the teams, or the Padres if they fall out of it as well in that wild card race. So it's going to be fun to watch. You just don't want it to be fun for the Brewers. You want them to lock up that Central and move on to the playoffs.
And the thing with that, as I look at all the standings right now, you can specifically say for most of these teams, they've got something exciting coming back. Now, the Dodgers don't know what they're going to get out of Walker Buehler, and he's not even going to throw for very long in September when he returns. But they will be getting Chris Taylor back. Bellinger's been getting warmer. Freddie Freeman's been incredible. They're going to, I believe, they're still going to be the one seed. That's not exactly a hot take. The Mets, Jacob deGrom. He's going to be due back right after the All-Star break. The Brewers, obviously, Freddie Peralta and Adrian Hauser coming back. Then you look at the Padres, the most exciting player in baseball. Fernando Tatis Jr. is due back. He's starting a hitting progression this week. But then you look at teams like Atlanta and St. Louis and Philadelphia. They kind of are who they are. It's not like there's someone crazy coming back. Tyler O'Neill just returned for the Cardinals, but they kind of are who they are. There's no one waiting in the wings for them. So that's where I think the Brewers take it a little advantage of, like, well, they're going to get better down the stretch. And there's got to be calls being made right now by David Stearns and Matt Arnold about talking, hey, you know, we're at this very moment less than three weeks away from the trade deadline. So that's the kind of thing that the Brewers are really good at.
Yeah, they are good at adding pieces. But like you said, Atlanta is good at – you saw Atlanta just basically revamp their entire team last year at the trade deadline and then went off to win the World Series. You know Dombrowski's going to do the same thing in Philadelphia. He's going to sell the farm in order to make them a playoff contender because he does not care about the future. He's going to leverage it and go after it. So those two teams in particular are going to get a lot better. Fernando Tatis Jr. coming back scares me about the San Diego Padres with their pitching staff and how good they are. And so, yeah, you definitely want to make sure that you take care of business in the Central. And then, yeah, you also want to make sure that you at least entertain the idea of adding a couple of pieces so that you can compete for that Central and win the Central flat out.
Jumping in for a quick second to tell you about our friends at BetOnline.net, the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You've got the latest developments, league reviews, and news. Of course, Major League Baseball in full swing. They've got a ton of stuff up there right now for the All-Star Game, including Home Run Derby stuff. Right now, if you were interested, the National League is actually just favored by a run and a half, so it's pretty close as far as things go in the actual All-Star Game at Dodger Stadium to be held tomorrow. But they've also got Home Run Derby odds and props on there as well. For the bracket style coming up later tonight, I'm a sucker from the Home Run Derby. You've heard me talk about that before as well. My money's on Pete Alonso, going for the three-peat. What a story it would be for him. But you can find all of this at betonline.net. It's your best source for everything sports, podcast, news, reviews. They've got MMA fights on there. They got boxing, anything you could need and you want to bet on. Betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all the trends and the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Let's get back to Vinny.
And I think the fun part, too, with this second half schedule, we've talked about it ad nauseum, 21 of the last 26 games are at home. So you have that going for you. But to be fair, six of those games are against the New York Yankees and New York Mets, who will be front-running in their respective divisions. But aside from that, you've got St. Louis coming to town for two more at the end of the season, Miami for four, and Arizona for three. So your last seven games will be against non-playoff teams, but you'll have two more with St. Louis at the very, very end there of that last homestand of the season. So that's looking way, way ahead. Let's kind of step back here for a second and look at some actual numbers from the Brewers here in the first half. No surprise, but Corbin Burns has been another Cy Young candidate. He finishes the first half 7-4 with a 2.14 ERA, 113 innings, 144 strikeouts. Now, I'm going to go live here onto Baseball Reference. I'm just going to go ahead and take a peek real quick at his 2021 first half. How different is this from his 2021 first half? In 2021, he went 4-4 with a 2.36 ERA, so by 0.08 of an ERA more this season. Strikeouts, he has more strikeouts in more innings this year because of the All-Star break. He had three more starts at the break this year than he did last year. He also had a bout with COVID coming out of the All-Star break too last year. So Corbin Burns is virtually on the same level he was last year, and yet somehow he's kind of considered third billing in Cy Young because of what Sandy Alcantara is doing right now. I don't know if we – it's kind of hard to just say, hey, this guy is good, but
this guy's good. Like, are we recognizing that enough?
I mean, this guy is really good. I mean, we talked to the Giants broadcasters as well, and Dwayne Kuiper even said, like, this guy is the best in the business after watching him live. That first game of the series just shut down the San Francisco Giants. I mean, he can shut down lefties. He can shut down righties. And remember, last year, those numbers you're talking about, that was in a six-man rotation. He's taking the ball now every fifth day for this Brewers team, and he has answered the bell. He's answered any questions whether or not he can do that, and he's answered that and then some. And so it's just remarkable what he's been able to do. He's definitely going to be in the running for Cy Young again this year.
I just want to remind folks, too, of looking at the names on this pitching staff that you might have forgotten through an inning for the Brewers this year. Remember when Jose Urania broke camp for the Brewers in April? And, you know, now he's with the Rockies and pitching well. Good for him. You also had Pierre Strzelecki fill in. Ethan Small made that spot start in Chicago. Luis Perdomo has been hurt. Sounds like he's not going to be pitching anytime soon. Trevor Kelly filled in some innings. He's back in AAA now. Luke Barker had to fill in a few innings, but he's back in AAA too. But it's just that every team goes through these waves of health, and now you've got Connor Sadzek up in the big leagues. Jake Cousins going to start throwing again. There's more reinforcements coming on the bullpen side of things too, but nothing is ever perfect when it comes to health-wise. But now looking over to the offense, things are looking healthy again. Renfro goes yard. Team leader in homers, it is Willy Adames, which I think is surprising given he missed 3 weeks. Let's try to, speaking of, wow, this guy is good, can we help explain to folks why we're excited about a guy that's hitting 220 with 19 homers? Why is he so important to the Brewers? And when somebody asks, well, the dude's only hitting 220, what's so great about him? What does Willy Adames bring to this Brewers team and what he's done in this first half?
Well, I mean, you know, we talk all the time about what he brings to the team in terms of leadership, in terms of passion and energy, and what makes him great on that side of things. But when he hits, the Brewers win. I mean, in their Brewer wins, I mean, it is remarkable the difference. He's got over a 900 OPS in Brewer wins, and then in Brewer losses, like a 500 OPS. So when he hits, the Brewers win. I know he hit a home run in the last game of the series against San Francisco, and the Brewers ended up losing. But when Willie goes, the team goes, and that goes for also Hunter Renfro and Rowdy Tellez. But he's been so important. He always comes up with big hits as well. He's hitting 220 on the season, but he is hitting closer to 270 with runners in scoring position. This guy elevates his concentration, his focus when runners are in scoring position. He's always seeming to come up with a big hit.
And for Willie, too, he's going to be officially on the run. He's 10 homers away from tying the Brewers' single-season record for homers by a shortstop held by no other than the kid, Robin Yount. So that's going to be really, really fun to watch down the stretch. Yount did that, of course, in 1982. If Willie can do that, if he gets to 30 homers as a shortstop, every single team would take notice of that. And understand me, there's a reason he's batting second on this team. I know Rowdy's hit a slump here down the end of the first half. I don't know if it's fatigue-induced, but yet he's still got the second-best OPS among full-time players on the team for the Brewers with a 763 OPS while playing great first-base defense. Rowdy, 88 games this year. That is tied for the most on the team with Christian Yelich. He's played 88 of the 93 games. He has truly been given the opportunity to be an everyday player. What would you assess his first half?
Yeah, he's a very impactful player. Obviously, when he's swinging it good, the Brewers, just like Willy Adames, the Brewers' offense goes when Rowdy Tellez is in there. He's that big presence in the lineup. I think it's affected him that Rowdy Tellez has actually been hurt this year, and it just affected him because then he doesn't have any protection in the lineup. So when he gets that, he hits. I do think it's a little bit of a fatigue factor because of because of the slump that he has recently been in. He also went in a little bit of a slump earlier, too. I think, too, this guy is going to continue to improve those long stretches where he goes without hits, right? I think that is his next level, that next step in his development where he kind of limits those times, makes quicker adjustments. Again, I consider this his rookie season almost, right? Because this is his first opportunity to play every day. He got the job last year after the All-Star break against the White Sox around July 23rd when he was handed over the everyday job at first base. So now it's a little bit past that one-year mark, I believe, or right under.
Just past it, yeah.
So I think he's going to continue to develop and get better.
Let's get ready to wrap this up with just a few, I guess, Brewers questions. Looking ahead, how do we feel about this And then the most pressing question right now is, are you worried about Josh Hader? And that's what everyone's talked about. And I personally am not worried about Josh Hader. I believe this break will be great for him, getting some time back at home, hit the mental reset button. Now, if he comes back and this happens again, I'm not saying gives up six runs, but I'm saying loud contact, not getting swings and misses, maybe start to scratch your head. But I want him to prove me wrong again to show me that, you know, oh, he's not going to fix this. Because he has fixed this. Kurt Hogg actually has some great tweets about it on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and talking about his Twitter account or on Kurt Hogg's Twitter of saying, Hader's gone through slumps like this before, and every single time he's bounced back. So I pose the question to you, should we be worried about Josh Hader?
No, he's, like you said, he's gone through this before. In 2019 in particular, there was a stretch in August where he gave up a bunch of runs in consecutive outings, and he's given up 15 home runs. He gave up 15 home runs that year as well in 2019. I think he's just going to have to make some adjustments. I think it's just a matter of his location. I do think the finish on his pitches isn't as crisp, especially the slider. The location has been right down the middle at times, and that's where he's been getting hurt. The fastball, Joey Bart's a great fastball hitter, and he's able to turn it around the other night. And then Yastrzemski as well. I think that ball was right down the middle. And again, I just think he was kind of beaten down a little bit mentally in that last outing where the bases were loaded. He just kind of served one up to Yastrzemski. So I definitely think he's going to work out of this. And I say that with confidence because we saw on Tuesday he went 3-up, 3-down with 3 punch-outs and totally dominated against the Minnesota Twins. So it's still in there. He'll be fine.
As we're recording this, the draft is actually happening right now. We're not waiting for the Brewers pick to do this, so you'll already know the Brewers pick. But the first overall pick was Jackson Holliday out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, switch-hitting shortstop. The Orioles draft him first overall, so congratulations to Jackson Holliday. Drew Jones went second overall to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yes, Andrew's son. And the Rangers just selected Kumar Rocker third overall. They're going heavy on the pitching, and he's now reunited with his former Vanderbilt teammate, Jack Leiter, and now the Pirates are currently on the clock right now. But I found that pretty fascinating. But it leads me to my next point about the draft and that the Brewers are about to have, you know, a little bit of life injected into their farm system. And it leads me to the trade question. Do the Brewers have enough in their farm system right now to go get the bat that it seems like they really do need?
Juan Soto?
Are they What's your Juan Soto package?
My Juan Soto package is empty the whole holster to get him. I don't know if I would actually do it. Jackson Chirio would obviously need to be in there. Basically, all three guys that were in the futures game would probably have to be in that package to even start the conversation. I don't know if the Brewers would do that. I don't know if I would do that either. Juan Soto does put you over the hump in terms of a bat and perhaps win the World Series with him. Otherwise, the other name would be a Brian Reynolds, which Bryce Terang and Jackson Chirio would also have to be in that package, or a Joey Weimer would have to be in that package to get him with 2.5 years of control left, and he can play center field as well. So I would think about it. I don't know if I would do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it to go all in on a year that your pitching isn't quite healthy. You don't really have enough in your farm system, because if you go all in this year, your farm system is going to have a long road to recovery for the next 3-4 years, because it already is in the bottom five as things stand right now. And then lastly, the Brewers will win the Central if, and you fill in the blank. My fill in the blank is the Brewers will win the Central not so much if they hit more, but I believe the Brewers win the Central if they get consistent starting pitching from their 3-4-5 guys, not the Burns and Woodruff. If Peralta comes back healthy and strong, if Hauser rebounds into just 2021 version of Adrian Hauser, not needing him to be lights out, and Eric Lauer, he's been rounding back into form as of late. I look at those three guys. If they round back into form, that's why the Brewers win the Central. What about you?
No, I agree with that. I'll just take a little bit of a different take. The Brewers win the Central if Devin Williams continues this dominance and Josh Hader gets back to being Josh Hader. I think that gets it done. With the starting pitching that they have just a small bridge in the middle of the game to get to those two guys. When they're that dominant, they win a lot of close games. They've been losing a lot of close games lately.
They're going to enjoy this break, and we are too. Vinny, it's good to reunite with you finally back here on the podcast.
Absolutely. I can't wait till the offseason where I can get back on, Dom.
Exactly. This man is just as busy as me, so he's got a bus and a charter to catch. Must be nice. Some of us fly coach, all right? Don't forget us little people down here, okay?
You'll be there soon enough, Dom. Don't worry.
It's soon enough. It's all good. I can't complain. I've been doing TBS games too. But that's Vinny. I'm Dom. Thank you so much for listening. Got the interview with Lane Grindle dropping tomorrow. And I got another guest. I don't want to tease it yet, but I think you're going to really, really like this guest coming up later in the week. That episode will drop on Friday. I do not want to reveal who that guest is yet. But again, Vinny joins us today. We had Lane Grindle coming tomorrow. And then we'll have a few more pods this week. Stay tuned to our Twitter to see all the schedule at Locked On Brewers. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.